Okay, thank you for
being here this Sunday morning. And I guess we'll see next week how we want to do. Maybe Sunday is not a good time for everybody. Okay, so okay, all the kids can go upstairs for your class. Hardik will take today's class for kids. So we'll start with invocation prayers. Please recite with me. नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्या नामने गौरहत्ये नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांचा कल्पत्रुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So today we are going to cover this topic about guru and disciple. So most of the time this question comes. So we discussed last time practical applications of spiritual life, right? Practical application of spirituality. Spirituality is not a retirement program. It's a necessary part of the whole life, starting from the childhood. And if we haven't started from childhood, at least whatever time we got the opportunity, we got some understanding, we should grasp this spiritual process of spiritual life also. Now, we hear this term about guru, that oh, in spirituality one should make a guru, or in journal in life one should make a guru. So the question comes, why do I need a guru? Can't I progress in spiritual life by myself? There are a lot of books available. I can just buy a book, read the book, get some knowledge. Can't I become spiritual? Why do I need a guru? Anybody had that question? Or have that question? What is the need to make guru? Why do I need guru? I can just get some knowledge, read the books, become a spiritual person.
That's not only sufficient.
That's not sufficient. So you understand that. Right? Okay. Anybody else? Any doubt, any question on this? Okay. So guru is needed. Why? Let's go other way now.
Knowledge faster.
And learn faster. Good.
And to go in a correct, meaningful way.
Go in the right direction, right? Without error and trial method. Okay, good. So today we are going to cover the topic, why do I need a guru, right? As per the scriptures, what are the point by point understanding? What are the points which scripture mention? Why do we need a guru? And then after understanding, yes, it's important to make a guru to progress in spiritual life, to get the, to fulfill the ultimate goal of life. Then who is a guru? Yes, I need a guru, but whom should I make a guru? Who is a real guru? Right? That understanding is very, very important. And then just not what are the characteristic qualities of a guru, what are the bare minimum characteristics of a shishya, of a disciple also. It's not that we just try to judge a guru, we have to judge ourselves also, right? What are the basic minimum qualities of a disciple, of a shishya? So first, let's discuss why we need a guru. So the first point, any subject matter you want to learn, we need a teacher, right? We send our kids to school. Why? Why we send kids to school? We can say, okay, this is the first grade, all the books. You stay at home, just read all the books and get the knowledge. And then you go to the second, third, fourth grade like that. But do we send our kids to school? Or for not just the academic part, any field. If you want to teach them swimming, if you want to teach them tennis, if you want to teach them mathematics, if you want to teach them music, for anything, we send kids to a particular teacher who can teach that particular subject matter. So if we need teacher from all other aspects, right, for all other subjects matter, for learning spiritual education, also we need a guru who teaches us how to make progress step by step in spiritual life, who can drive away our misconceptions and can give us the right knowledge, and who acts as a link between us and Krishna. The second point, when we have some disease, do you open up a medical book and try to find out, okay, for this particular disease, this is the course of treatment. For heart problem, this is how to do a heart surgery. And I will try to do follow, look up a Google guru. And step by step, okay, take a scissor and this, that, open your heart like this, try to do this, that. So you can go all step by step. But how many of us will like to have a heart surgery done in that way? For anything, we want a particular person who is certified in that way, right? If there is a disease, we go to a doctor. We don't just try to open a medical book and learn how to treat this particular problem. Even for fever or cough cold, people try to go to a doctor. So same way, that is second point, the importance of having a guru. Right now, everybody is in a diseased condition. What is that disease condition? Ignorance. Avidya. And the guru can cure that disease of ignorance. He can, again, same point, he can drive away our ignorance, our misconceptions, and give us the right knowledge, right direction. And the third point, as or sub part of this, we can say the same point, first point and second point conclude towards the same point which Shini mentioned. It makes it easy to learn. Otherwise, if I just open up the book myself and try to learn, it will be very hard to understand everything. Maybe I may be able to come to a certain level of understanding, but it will be very troublesome path, very long process to gain knowledge. But if I ask somebody who is experienced in that, he can give me all the shortcuts, tips, basic tips, right? The ABCD. This is what you need to do. This is how we can start making progress. So it makes the process very easy. And the third point, when Lord comes himself, when Lord Krishna came, he accepted a guru. Who was Krishna's guru? What is the name of Krishna's teacher? See, now you can find out that information by doing a Google search, opening some book. It will take time. right? Or somebody can just tell you in 1 second, Krishna's teacher was Sandipani Muni. And then even Lord Ram, when Lord Ram came, Lord Ram also accepted a guru. What was Lord Ram's teacher's name?
Guru Vasishth.
Guru Vasishth and then Vishwamitra. So he accepted them as guru. Now, he is the Supreme Lord himself. Lord Krishna, Lord Ram, he is the Supreme Lord himself. He is the source of all the knowledge. Does he really need knowledge? Does he really need to go and accept a guru to gain that knowledge? So why he is accepting? Just to show by his own example, to set an example that, okay, if I am coming here, I am accepting the human form, I am accepting a guru. And that is the importance that one, getting a human form of life, we need to accept a bona fide teacher, spiritual teacher, to gain knowledge, to gain spiritual knowledge. Krishna, he is the Supreme Lord, he is the source of all the knowledge. He doesn't need, it's not a guru. What is the meaning of guru actually? It's two words, gu and ru. It's a gu shabd andhkar astu, ru shabd prakash astu. So gu means andhkar, darkness, and ru means light. So one who brings from darkness to light, that is called guru. So right now we are all in the darkness of considering ourselves to this material body or many other things. So who brings from darkness to light? That is guru. And guru, another meaning of guru is who is heavy. So he is heavy with knowledge. He gives us the knowledge. There is a very important prayer or one of the invocation mantra in the beginning, basically. We haven't started reciting that. It says, Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. So what does it mean? Om Ajnana Timirandasya, that I am born in the ignorance. Ajnana Timirandasya, that I am in the darkness of ignorance. Chakshur Anmilitam Yena, and who has opened my eyes with the light of knowledge. Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. I pay obeisances to such guru. So guru means who brings us from darkness to light, from ignorance to right knowledge. So Lord himself, by his own example, he shows that one need to accept a spiritual master, getting the human form of life. Now all the scriptures, they glorify the importance of accepting a teacher, accepting a guru. Lot of places in the scriptures, be it Ramayana, be it Mahabharata, be it the Vedas or the Puranas. So lot of places it is mentioned, what is the importance of accepting a guru? Uddhava asked Lord Krishna. His conversation, Uddhava and Lord Krishna's conversation, is known as Uddhava Gita, which is in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam also. So Uddhava asked, what is the importance of getting a human form of life? So Lord Krishna says, after getting a human form of life, one should accept a guru. This human form of life, like we have been going in this material world in so many life forms, right? From one life to another, one species to another life form. It's like a person is drowning in the ocean. And while drowning in the ocean, he gets a boat. Now that boat can save that person. But how can that boat only save the person? He need a qualified boatman to row that boat, to cross over the ocean. So same way, we are drowning in this ocean of material world, going from one life form to another. And while drowning in this material world, going like this for many, many lifetimes, we have got this boat of human form. So this form, human form of life, is considered as a boat which is given to us to cross over this material world. But and to utilize the full benefit of this human form of life, we need a boatman. and that is Guru. So that's why in the scripture, Guru is also called Guru Karandhar. Guru is like expert boatman who can take our boat safely from this material world, cross us beyond this material world, material ocean. So that is another mention, that's the next point, the importance, the verdict of the scriptures. After getting the human form of life, it's utmost necessary to get the human to get the Guru, to accept a Guru. Now, Guru can be anything, right? We can call Guru, oh, I was going to school, so that teacher, he is my Guru. But that is all the material education. Now there is nothing related to spirituality. Earlier, during the actual Vedic time, people will go to ashram, right? They will go stay in the ashram of the Guru. And that Guru is training from all aspects of life. He is giving the general academic knowledge, social knowledge, cultural knowledge, music knowledge, weapons, knowledge of weapons, right? The martial arts, and then knowledge of the scriptures. What is the ultimate, how to fulfill the ultimate goal of life. So that is called actual Guru, which will train in various aspects of life, not just the academic education. Now we send kids to school, it's just the academic part. There is nothing related to spirituality. Earlier, all the education will be based on the scripture. Scripture can knowledge, scriptures contain knowledge from all the angles. You can learn about social life, you can learn about politics, you can learn about culture, you can learn about music and actual spiritual topics. Everything is included in the scripture. Mahabharata, Ramayana can teach from all various angles. And that's what was the curriculum earlier, right? They will use these scripture and train the child from all various aspects of life. But now, that aspect is not there anymore. So, one need to specifically search out for a guru who can train in the spiritual life. Now, in Ramayana, Valmiki, Tulsidas Ramayana actually, it also mentions the person whose head does not bow down at the feet of the Guru, that head need to be chopped off. Jo sir Guru ke saamne nahi jhukta, us sir ko to kaat dena chahiye. So that is Ramayana. It's Ramayana is mentioning that. So that is the importance of Guru. That one must accept a Guru in after getting the human form of life. Now, can I, okay, understanding this, we need a Guru. Oh, I'm desperate to find a Guru. Otherwise, my life will be waste. Can I accept anybody as Guru? Koi bhi baba, shaba, jo bhi raste chalte ho, kisi ko bhi Guru bana le. Right? Can we accept anybody as Guru? So, what are the qualifications of a Guru? So, that also, scriptures define what are the qualities of a Guru. So, first quality of the Guru, the person should not claim himself to be God. The person should not start claiming himself to be God. A lot of time it happens. A person, so first he claims that, oh, I am a spiritual authority, I am a guru. He is also teaching same things. He may be talking from Bhagavad Gita, from other scriptures. But when little popularity comes, when he becomes little famous, then they start claiming, oh, jo 5000 saal pehle, 5000 years back, what was Lord Krishna? I am also same. I am incarnation of Krishna. There is no difference in me and Krishna. I am also same thing. So they start claiming themselves as God. And they, so their whole philosophy start revolving around themselves. They are the center of everything. It's not Krishna, not Ram. They are all kicked out and they become the center. Their talk is about themselves. Their philosophy is about themselves. Just surrender unto me and I will deliver you. Right? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, surrender unto me. What is that? Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. Right? Krishna says, just surrender unto me, I will deliver you from all the sinful reaction. And such bogus gurus who start claiming themselves as God, Now they start claiming, oh, I will deliver you from everything, just surrender unto me. Just take my shelter, accept my diksha, and you're all set. So, person should not claim himself to become, to be God. So now if we consider this criteria, I guess 80-90% of the gurus will be out from this particular, considering this particular point. There are a lot of Falgu Babas who start claiming themselves as God.
In Bangalore there is one Swami, is Nityananda.
There are a lot of them. There are a lot of them. There is a there is Bengali Baba, Nityananda, Nirmal Baba, this, that. There are so many Babas like that. No, the reason, that is good point. The reason why people still claim, accept them. What is the reason? It's like their philosophy is like Charvak philosophy. Right? We discussed this particular point a couple of sessions earlier. What is Charvak philosophy? The Charvak, Charvak means itself which is very pleasing to the hear. Very pleasing to hear. And their philosophy is, do whatever you like to do. Enjoy. Who has seen next life? Who has seen the soul? Who has seen the God? Just do whatever you like, but just accept this, do a little bit of this, and you can keep doing whatever you want. And people, in general, they want shortcuts. They want easy approach. So spiritual life is not just about pampering somebody, giving sweet pills. It's about telling the right philosophy. If somebody tells, oh, don't worry about whatever you are doing. You want to eat meat, you want to do this, do that, gambling, this, that, continue. No problem. Just do half an hour this thing. Once in a week you come to my ashram, give some donation, everything will be all set. A lot of Baba are like that. I don't want to take any particular's name. They will say, come to my ashram or ye chintiyon ko thoda khana khila do. Mere ashram mein thodi dakshina dal do. Your life is all set. So there are a lot of cheaters like that. So one should not claim himself to be equal to God. And no bona fide guru will actually accept this proposition that, oh, I am become God. The real philosophy is, the actual bona fide guru will always say, I am servant of God. I am the representative of God. I am not equal to God. I have not become God. But then some people may claim, right, the bogus Babas, they may give a wrong philosophy also to brainwash somebody. And there is no, scripture says guru is equal to God. There is a very famous verse in the scriptures. And I hear, Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Devo Maheshwara, Guru Sakshat Param Brahma, Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. The scriptures are saying that. Guru Brahma, Guru Mahesh, Guru Vishnu, Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. So, Guru is equal to Brahma, Guru is equal to Vishnu, Guru is equal to Mahesh. So, scriptures are telling. So, I am equal to. So, right? Somebody can misuse this particular part and say, oh, I am God. Now, when scriptures mention something, there are multiple meanings of that. So, there is actual word-to-word literal meaning and there is a consciousness behind that. What is the bhavarth, actual meaning of that? Not just as a literal meaning. So, if somebody goes literally, Guru Brahma, oh, Guru is equal to Brahma. Guru Vishnu, Guru is equal to Vishnu. So, that is a literal meaning. But what is the bhavarth here actually? So scriptures doesn't say Guru has become equal to Brahma or Vishnu or Mahesh. Guru can never become equal to them. Guru is always a representative of God. The meaning, the purpose here of mentioning this is, Guru should always be respected equal to God. Because he is a link for us, between me and God. He is the link who hold my hand and take me to God. Show me the way. So Guru should always be respected equal to God. But Guru has never become equal to God. So when Prabhupada came to America, so he preached for a couple of years and then he went back to India for some time. And after that long time he did not come back. So when he was gone back, there was a lot of disciples, right? When Prabhupada earlier came here, so a lot of people took initiation, accepted him Guru, and they were preaching other people now. So some of the, there were three sannyasis. So a lot of people accepted sannyas also to take up the preaching message, basically preaching activity. So there were three sannyasis in particular in one particular temple. They started preaching wrong philosophy. They started telling other people, oh, you know what? Prabhupada himself was Krishna. He never told us this thing, but he himself was Krishna. And we never accepted him. We did not honor him that much. So he has gone back and he is never coming back here. So they started preaching this kind of philosophy, this kind of thing, started rumoring like that. And slowly this message, this news reached to Prabhupada in India. He was in India. So this news came out, some of your disciples, three sannyasis, they are telling other people like this, that Prabhupada is Krishna himself. And Prabhupada became so mad, so furious. He sent message back, he sent a letter back, throw all these three sannyasis out of the movement. I don't want to see them in the movement. They are telling, preaching the wrong message, wrong philosophy. So a bona fide representative, he does not never claim himself to be God. Yes, he may say, yes, you should respect me. So that may be his statement, right? You should respect me equal to God. But he doesn't say, you should respect me, like you should consider me equal to God. And that is the version of the scriptures, that we should respect the Guru as we respect the Supreme Lord. But nowhere it is mentioned that Guru has become equal to God. He is always the servant, always the representative of the Supreme Lord. So that is first criteria. No Guru should claim himself to be God. If somebody is claiming himself to be God, he is not God, he is dog. That is the version of scriptures. Second point. A bona fide, a true guru should be devotee of Krishna. He should understand Krishna in a full, deepest understanding, full in tattva. He should understand Krishna in tattva. So again, it links with the first point itself, right? People don't understand who is God. They don't have a clear understanding. And then we start all different messages. Oh, this also God, that also God, this Devi God, that Devta God, this Baba God, I am also God. So they don't have any clear understanding. And one should understand Krishna in Tattva, that he is the Supreme Lord. And he should go by the injunctions of the scriptures. He should abide by the instructions given in the scriptures, not by his own personal concoctions. A lot of time it happens, somebody start teaching his own philosophy. Oh, this is what I think. So one should never start giving out his own message. Once my own Guru Maharaj, he was telling this particular pastime, that he went to an ashram, somebody else's ashram, and there also there were a lot of devotees were there, so-called devotees, disciple of one particular Baba. And he asked them, okay, what is your philosophy? What do you guys preach? Or what is your understanding? He said, oh, we also have Bhagavad Gita. We also read Bhagavad Gita. Okay. And they showed them their copy of Bhagavad Gita. And what was that? This Bhagavad Gita was written by their Guru. It's not the Bhagavad Gita which Lord Krishna gave. They said, oh, this is Bhagavad Gita. Our Guru Maharaj wrote this Bhagavad Gita. And what is he writing? He is writing his own philosophy. There is no shlokas of what Krishna spoke. And he is just writing his own philosophy and calling it as Bhagavad Gita. So people want to make money on the words of Krishna. They may speak their own philosophy and they say, oh, Bhagavad Gita mein Bhagwan ne aisa bola hai. And innocent person who don't have any understanding, they will sometime come in these talks. So one should accept the authority of the scriptures and he should be a genuinely devotee of Lord Krishna in full understanding. That is another criteria of a bona fide guru. He should not start preaching his own philosophy. So this is the third point I already mentioned, right? He should learn or he should accept the words of the scripture. And the ultimate conclusion of the scriptures is Ishwarah Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadhiradhir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. That is the ultimate conclusion of the scriptures. And Krishna himself gave the knowledge in the beginning. Right? In Bhagavad Gita 15.15 also, Krishna says, Sarvasya chaam hridesha nivishto matta samritir gyanam apohanam cha. Vedeshcha sarvir aham eva vedyo. Vedanta krid vedavid eva chaham. I am the source of all the knowledge and I am to be known through that Vedas. I am the creator and the knower of the Vedas. So that is what Krishna is saying. So he is the source of everything and we have to accept his words, not by just our own concoctions. So next criteria for the guru, this is very significant, very important here. Now this is the first shloka of Nectar of Instruction, compiled by Sri Rupa Goswami, one of the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the first shloka of Nectar of Instruction, Upadeshamrit, he says, Vacho Vegam Manasaha Krodha Vegam Jivha Vegam Udharupastha Vegam Etan Veganja Vishyeta Dhira Sarvam Apimam Prithvim Sashishyat. So the person who can control all these things, he is qualified to have make disciples throughout the world. And what are those qualifications here? Vacho Vegam. He should have full control on his speech. Manasah Krodha Vegam. He should have full control on his mind and his anger. Krodha Vegam. Jivha Vegam. He should have full control on his taste bud, tongue. Udar Upastha Vegam, full control on his genitals and belly. So, if somebody can control all these six Vegas, these are called Vega, the strong flow, who can control all these, he is qualified to make disciples all over the world. So, that is the next qualification to be a guru. Now, if we go with this, Vacho Vegam means the Vega, the speaking Vega. Now it's not, doesn't mean, Vacho Vegam doesn't mean one should not speak, then one should become a Moni Baba. A lot of people, they become completely silent, Moni Baba. That, oh, we have taken a vow of not to speak at all. And I'm such a, and person may say, oh, such a great sadhu. He has not spoken in 20 years. He is just taken a vow of silence. So Vacho Vegam doesn't mean not speaking. Vacho Vegam means controlling our urges to speak all any sort of nonsense things and speak about only the Lord. Only speaking about the Lord, doing Krishna Katha. That is Vacho Vegam. Not speaking about all other mundane things, politics and this, social development and economic development and all that. So that is Vacho Vegam. Then Manasah Krodha Vegam, he should have full control on his mind and his anger. So a lot of time, a lot of people have done a lot of austerity, but still they cannot control the urges of the mind and anger. What to speak of people like us, who doesn't have any control on all these things. Even these big so-called sadhus or gurus, they don't have any control on all these things. And then Jivha Vegam, the control on taste, eating. Externally one may say, oh, I am a very renounced person. But internally all those urges, oh, to eat this, that. So the mind is going, I want to eat this pav bhaji, pizza, burger, patty, golgappe and all that. So all this is going on. So one should be controlled. He should be control in all these aspects. So once there was so all these bogus babas everywhere now, bogus babas are there. Earlier in village, a lot of time some bogus babas will come. In village, people are generally very innocent people, right? They will believe in everything. If anybody comes, they will accept him. So once a sadhu came in the village and he gave a nice talk and everybody is coming, bowing down to him. Oh, such a great sadhu. He is so austere, doesn't eat much and this, that. Once a person from that village, he came to meet the sadhu and he brought jalebi. he brought jalebi to that sadhu. So, Guru Maharaj, I brought this jalebi for you. And that person, he took the jalebi and threw it so hard and it went 50 foot away and fell down. So this person thought, oh, such a austere person. He has so control on his senses. So later on, this pravachan is done. Everybody who came to meet, everybody went home in the afternoon. So this person also went back. So after that, when everybody has left, this sadhu got up from his seat, went to the place where the jalebi was fallen. He picked up that jalebi, cleaned it up a little bit and started eating. And this person who had brought the jalebi, even though he was showing, oh, I'm going home, he went and he hid behind a tree. He was watching what's going to happen. So this person, when he went and started eating the jalebi, this person came out of the tree. Guruji, aapko jalebi khana hi tha, to usi time kha lete. Why you had to throw it so hard and now you are eating this? So the point is, sometime people make a show of controlling the senses that, oh, I'm such a renounced person. And internally, they are so much attached to all those things. People are attached to wealth. People are attached to women. People are attached to all these nonsense. Same, all those eating habits. They cannot give up all those things. So there are so many so-called sadhus or gurus are like that. And we come across so many scandals, right? Oh, us baba ka ye scandal nikla, usne itni property jabt kar li kisi ki. He has so much of money in the Swiss bank. So the bona fide guru, he doesn't have any interest in gaining property, gaining money or gaining wealth or all these things. He is completely renounced in true sense. When Prabhupada came to America, see, even though he came with 40 rupees, 40 rupees that time was equal to $7. So he came with $7 and within few years, or total in the span of 11 years, he built 108 temples. So 108 temples means such a big property in one sense. So much of money. And his name comes actually in the business world. People quote his name as a one of the top entrepreneurs kind of thing. That in the last years of his life, he built so much of property. But he never claimed that property to his own property. You know, this is Krishna's property. Even though whatever has been built, all these temples, whatever donations are coming, it's being used in Krishna's service and all this belongs to Krishna. He never gave one single penny to his children. He had many sons and he had a daughter also. So he never say, oh, let me send some money or transfer some of the money in their accounts or at their name so they can live happily, all that. So a real guru, real bona fide spiritual teacher, he is in true sense renounced. He does not claim anything to be his personal property. But now if you look at everywhere else in the world, there are so many people, they have crores and crores of money on their name and so much of land, hundreds and hundreds of acres of land on their name, and they fight for that. And there are so many court cases going on for that. So the qualification of a guru is who can control all these urges. He has the control on how much to eat, the control on the belly. Generally, we are bound by the taste bud. When we eat, what happens? We are focusing on the tongue, not on the belly. Right? Our focus is on the tongue. Oh, it's very tasty. Bring more. It's very tasty. But we are not focusing on the stomach. Is there more capacity for the stomach until it's completely about to blast? So, actually it said if we can focus more on the belly, then we can control our eating urges. That, okay, now the capacity for the stomach is done, I should stop eating. And then most of the disease can be actually prevented in that way. So, a bona fide guru is one who can control all these urges. The Vacha Vegam, Manasah Krodha Vegam, Jivha Vegam, Udhara Upastha Vegam. And he is qualified to make disciple all over the world. And guru is the person who shows by his personal example. Everybody is familiar with the term Acharya. What does Acharya means? No, acharya means guru. Yeah, we sometimes be guru is referred as acharya, but what does acharya really mean?
One who understands the scripture and applies
in his own life. One who understands the scripture and applies in his own life. So acharati iti acharya, who practice himself, who practically apply himself in his own life, that is called acharya. But now generally everywhere you hear this term acharya, oh such and such acharya ji, such and such acharya ji. That acharya is addicted with the tea, coffee, intoxication, onion, garlic, all that, and he is called as acharya. Acharya is one who shows by his own personal behavior, that is called acharya. Again, there is another nice story. One time one famous sadhu came in the village and he used to give big pravachan, and all the people are so influenced. Oh, he talks so nice. His talk is mesmerizing. Thousands and thousands of people come. So actually, that is not the criteria of a great sadhu. He may have good speaking, right? He may look beautiful. He may dress up nicely. He may speak very nicely and attract a lot of people, but that is not the qualification of a bona fide sadhu. The qualities of the bona fide sadhu is what we just discussed, all these points. So once this sadhu came and he used to give big pravachan, and a lot of people will come, listen, and wah wah wah, Guruji kitna achha bolte hain. He speaks so nice. So this sadhu's wife, he actually never attended the satsang. And some village woman, she went to his house, sadhu's house, and they told the wife, sadhu's wife, oh, your husband comes and preach, gives so nice class, and you never come to attend. You should also come. She said, actually, when my husband goes to give the pravachan talk, that is the time I have to arrange for prasadam for him. That then I stay home and cook food for him, so that when he comes back, the prasadam is ready. So I said, oh, you prepare earlier this time and you also come, attend pravachan. So this time this sadhu's wife also came, sat in the pravachan, and he started the lecture, and he started talking so nicely, all that, and he started speaking the philosophy. Who are situated in the mode of goodness, they go to the higher planets. Who are situated in the mode of passion, they stay here. Who are in the mode of ignorance, they go to the hellish planets. Right? Urdhva gacchanti sattvastha, midhya tashtanti rajasa, adho gacchanti tamasa. So people who are situated in the mode of goodness, the guhai. So he started like that, and then we should avoid all the tamasic food, because tamasic food is not good. It makes people fall down to the hellish conditions of life. Jasa ahar vaisa man. So he gave big philosophy, big class. So people should not eat onion, garlic, this, that, all that. And when he was giving this class, his wife got up and he ran to the house. And after finishing the pravachan, this sadhu also came home. So she served him food. So he put the first bite in the mouth and he spit. What kind of taste is this today? What happened to you? What did you cook today? So his wife came, folded hands humbly. She said, please forgive me. So many years I was torturing you. I did not know we should not eat all this tamasic food. I was putting onion, garlic in your food. All these years I was serving you that kind of food, but today I heard in your class we should not eat all that kind of food, and I came home running and I threw all that food cooked with onion, garlic, and I prepared nice food without any tamasic ingredients. So he said, "Arey wo sab, that all is to talk to other people. For me, double tadka onion, garlic taste aana chahiye." So that is not the genuine bona fide sadhu. Bona fide sadhu is who show by his personal example. It's not that, oh, it's for to preach to others, to impress upon others. He should apply in his own life. That is the real sadhu, real guru. Once a woman, she brought her child to the sadhu. She said, Guruji, this my boy, he is so addicted to sweet. He eats so much sweet. You please tell him not to eat sweets. So the sadhu said, okay, I will tell him. You bring him 2 weeks later. Then I will tell him to stop eating sweets, not to eat that much sweet. So the woman came back again after 2 weeks. And this time the sadhu told the boy, say, listen, you should not eat that much sweet. This is not good for you. It will spoil your teeth. It will spoil your health. This much sugar is not good. And the boy listened and he stopped eating. And this woman was very surprised. Oh, Sadhu told him and he stopped. But why didn't he tell him 2 weeks back? He should have just told same thing 2 weeks back and he should have told that time itself. So she asked the Sadhu, you could have told this thing that time also. Why you asked me to come 2 weeks later? So he said, Mata, that time when you brought the child first time to me, that time I was also eating sweets. So how can I tell somebody to not eat sweets when I myself am eating? So I wanted to practice myself for 2 weeks to quit sweets. So 2 weeks I practiced myself. I gave up eating all the sweets. And now I am able to tell that to your child. So when somebody is doing that himself and tell that message transfers to the heart. Otherwise it just transfers to the ear, from one ear goes out. There is no change of the heart. For affecting others' heart, to make a change in somebody's heart, if the person himself is applying those principles, he himself is doing those things, then there is a verbal connection, then the things goes direct in the heart. Otherwise there is no meaning, there is no change of heart. So that's why sometimes you will see a lot of big pandal programs happen in India, right? Somebody comes and gives big program, thousands and thousands of people come, and on the loudspeakers, microphones, all these people are listening. On the TV, this message is bombarded, right? All the TV channels, Aastha, this, that, a lot of programs come. But at the end, how many people change? How many people really become the devotees? How many people's life really change? Not many, very few. Why is that? Because the person who is conveying the message, maybe he is not applying all these principles himself. Maybe there is something lacking there. He is not representing properly the scriptures and the Lord himself. So, a guru need to be acharya by show in his own personal example. Now, next point, very important, the qualification of a guru, bona fide guru. The guru should come in a bona fide disciplic succession. It's not that somebody just gets up, put on saffron clothes and start claiming himself, oh, now I am a saintly person and I have become a guru. Come, bow down to me, I will give you diksha. So, a guru should be in a bona fide disciplic succession. So, there are four bona fide disciplic successions. Sampradaya, which we call as Sampradaya. And they all come from the Supreme Lord. So there are four Sampradayas. One is Brahma Sampradaya, Rudra Sampradaya, Lakshmi Sampradaya, like Shri Sampradaya, and Kumara Sampradaya. So Lord Krishna gave knowledge to Brahma. And from where the chain started, which is called Brahma Sampradaya. And then Lord Krishna gave knowledge to Lord Shiva. And from there comes Rudra Sampradaya. And then Lord Krishna gave knowledge to, or Lord Vishnu gave knowledge to Lakshmiji. So that Sampradaya is called Shri Sampradaya. And then Lord Krishna gave knowledge to the four Kumaras, the first four sons of Brahma. Four Kumaras, Sanak, Sanat, Sanatan, right? So Lord Krishna gave knowledge to the four Kumaras, and in that chain, the knowledge coming down, that Sampradaya is called Kumara Sampradaya. So like that, there are four bona fide Sampradayas. And in any bona fide sampradaya, if some receives the knowledge, that knowledge is genuine knowledge. In all the bona fide sampradaya, the knowledge given is the true knowledge. But now again, with the influence of time, not all the parampara sampradayas are that active or keeping all the philosophies and all the practice in a genuine way. So there are a lot of mixing and things, right? It's the philosophy get watered down, what we call as a watered down thing, that you add something to in it to make it little convenient for people or for time being. So from Lord Brahma and Krishna gave knowledge to Brahma gave it to Narada gave it to Vyasa Dev, like that knowledge is coming down. It's like a university. So these four sampradayas like a four universities. Bona fide university. So if there is a proper recognized university and you receive knowledge from that, you get a degree from a recognized university, then that degree has some value. But if you go to anybody who is not certified and you do the studies, will that knowledge be recognized? Will that degree be recognized? Because we are asked this question, right? From where did you do your master's? Or from where, which university did you do your MBA? Because there is a value associated with the place from where you got that knowledge. So as every university has a certain medium, like who is passing down that knowledge in the university? Every university has a vice chancellor, right? Who is the authority of that university? So same way, in the recent times, last 1500 years or so, so all the four sampradayas are recognized by with one particular personality who is like a vice chancellor for that sampradaya. Like for the Brahma sampradaya, it came Madhvacharya. So Madhvacharya was recognized as coming down in the Brahma sampradaya. So he is the recognized authority within that sampradaya. And from Madhvacharya, then later on came Madhvendra Puri. Madhvendra Puri came Ishwara Puri. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came himself in this sampradaya. He accepted Ishwara Puri as his guru. So as I mentioned, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he himself is combined form of Radha and Krishna, who came 500 years back. And he also accepted a guru, same as Lord Krishna and Lord Ram. So he also accepted a guru to show by his own example. And he accepted Ishwara Puri as his guru. So this sampradaya, and from Ishwara Puri, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, from then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, then Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So I like that, this knowledge is coming down in a chain. So the ISKCON, this organization which is now called as ISKCON, right? Srila Prabhupada established this organization. This is just one branch of the same sampradaya. So Brahma Sampradaya, from Brahma Sampradaya it started knowing as Brahma Madhva Sampradaya. And from Madhva, now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also came in the sampradaya. In recent time it started known as Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. So that is because of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is followers, is called Gaudiya Sampradaya. So this is Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. Like that from Lord Lakshmiji. So in that sampradaya, in the recent times, who was the main acharya in that sampradaya? Ramanujacharya. Now, Sri Sampradaya is also still active. They are also giving knowledge. And one received knowledge in that parampara is also bona fide knowledge. But that sampradaya, it's limited only in particular region within India, South India. And then South India also mainly Sri Rangam area, where their preaching activities and all that activity goes on. But their influence is not like as a worldwide. They are not giving out as knowledge throughout the world. So even though the sampradaya is bona fide, one can receive knowledge, genuine knowledge, but there is a limitation in that. And again, everywhere it's a watered down philosophy. The third sampradaya, Rudra Sampradaya, coming from Lord Shiva. Now sometimes people mistakenly think Rudra Sampradaya means people who worship Lord Shiva. Is that the follower of Rudra Sampradaya? Actually, that doesn't come under any sampradaya. The people who claim we are follower of Shiva, right? What Shiva did this, a lot of time people misrepresent that. They say, oh, Shiva used to drink bhang. Shiva used to do this thing. So we can also do this thing. There are so-called Nagababas. They will drink chars and all that. And say, oh, we are follower of Shiva. Shiva also drank intoxication. Shiva drank poison. Actually, Lord Shiva drank poison. That's why he is called Neelakanta. And people misrepresent, they want to imitate. They think, oh, we are drinking chars and ganja and all that. We are representing Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is not pleased in that way with somebody's misrepresentation. Lord Shiva is pleased. What is Lord Shiva doing actually? What is Lord Shiva teaching? Lord Shiva, when Parvati asked, on whom are you meditating all the time? I thought you are the Supreme. On whom are you meditating all the time? Lord Shiva says, my worshipable deity is Krishna, Ram. That's what the name I'm chanting. So any picture of Lord Shiva you see, right? He is sitting in a meditation posture. And he is, on one hand, he is having the beads. And there is some sound uttering going on. What is that? He is chanting. He is always chanting the name of Lord. And another point, he said, Aradhana Nam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhana Param. That Lord Vishnu's Aradhana, worship is the supreme. And another point, Lord Lakshmiji asked, who can give moksha? Who can give mukti? Says, among all, only person who can give mukti, who can give liberation is Lord Vishnu. Or Krishna or Ram. So when we say Krishna, Vishnu and Ram is included. Okay, one should understand that way. On which channel?
On Kannada channel.
Okay.
Har Har Mahadev. In that also, Parvati asks Lord Shiva, you are always chanting to whom you are praying. He says, I chant always Narayan.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you three are equal. You three are Trimurti, Brahma, Vishnu and you. Why you are chanting Vishnu's name? He asks. He tells, because Vishnu is the maintainer. Means, so I am the destroyer. To
okay.
destroy, I have to study maintenance also. So I am praying him. But Brahma is the creator. To maintain, he has to study, know the knowledge of creation. Shiva, Vishnu chants Brahma's name.
Hmm.
Okay. And
so now,
Brahma,
okay,
that's what
I got your point. Now, okay. When somebody is making the serial, or any episode or something like that, first of all, we should not start considering him as a complete authority, that whatever is shown in the serial, that's 100% accurate. First thing.
Yeah, that is true.
Like there was Mahabharata, shown, Ramayana shown. They will try to show a lot of things, right? A lot of things will be accurate, but there are a lot of things which comes with based on their own concoctions. Now, if somebody who is a worshipper of a particular devata and he is making serial on that, he will try to pose that devata as the supreme. Understand that point first of all. And we cannot accept everything 100% accurate, whatever is shown in the serial. So that's why we have to look into the scriptures. So there are so many quotes I cited. These are all from the scriptures. Now, in Shiva Puran, at one point, it's mentioned Shiva is supreme. So why is that? Because here, when Vyasadeva compiled on the scriptures, so he is going in a sequence way. It's like peeling the onion. Right? When we peel the onion, one layer by one layer. It's like that he started compiling all the scriptures. So he mentioned different Devi Devatas, this, that. Again, another example is when a drama is going on the stage. There are multiple layers of curtain. First layer open, some character come. One may think, oh, he is the maybe main actor, actresses. Then the second layer opens up, some other artist shown. Then another layer opens up, another artist is shown, another layer. So like that, when it comes to the final layer, then the main, the cast, main actor, main hero, heroine, they are displayed. So like that, Vyasaji is opening up the layers, opening up the curtains. One by one, he has composed all the scriptures. And finally, he wrote Bhagavatam. And Bhagavatam is called Amalam Puran, without any fault. So when there is little conflict among two Puranas, Bhagavatam Puran supersedes, is the main authority. Now in Shiva Puran, yes, Lord Shiva is mentioned at one point that he is the supreme. There is a reason. It's not inaccurate in one sense or in complete sense. Now, why he is mentioned there, he is supreme? Now, in Brahma's one day, there are 14 Manvantra. Okay? In Brahma's one day, there are 14 Manvantra. And each Manvantra, there is one Manu. And we are right now in the 7th Manvantra, in the current day of Brahma. So far with me? There is a lot of calculations here now, if you want to understand. So, in Brahma's one day, 14 Manu. We are right now in the 7th Manvantra. The 4th Manvantra was called Tamasah Manvantra. Okay? In that Manvantra, Lord Shiva was given the position of the Supreme. So he was appointed that, okay, in this Manvantra, you take the position of maintainer and creator, everything. So he was given the position of the supreme in that particular Manvantara. That's why when in Shiva Purana it's mentioned he is supreme, yes, he was given the post of trying to manage as a supreme in that particular Manvantara. His actual role is as a destroyer, and even the Vishnu, Brahma and Mahesh, when we say, oh, they are all three equal, that is also one of the big misconception. Okay, we should understand. They are not all equal. They have taken the role of creator, destructor and maintainer. And when somebody creates, he is not creating independently. He is creating with the support of Vishnu. And when somebody is destructing, destroying, he is also destroying with the support of Lord Vishnu. He is not independently acting. So they are doing their job, their particular assigned job, but in collaboration with the Supreme Lord. So it's like we say in Hinduism, a lot of people claim, right? In Hinduism, 33 crore Devi Devata. And sometimes people say everybody is equal. All the Devi Devatas are equal. We actually covered this topic earlier in detail, but I'm just going to summarize for understanding. So you say everybody is equal. Now, are they really equal? If you understand, Earth is also considered Bhumi. She is also considered one Devi. Cow is also considered one Devi, Mother Cow, right? She is also manifestation. Ganga, she is also a personality, Mother Ganga. So all the rivers, all the mountains, they have a personification. And they are also considered Devi Devatas in one sense. So, but when the trouble comes to earth, when there is a burden of sin increases on earth, Bhumi takes the form of a cow. She goes to whom? Indra. She first goes to Indra. Oh, I have a big trouble. Please protect me. Now, if everybody is equal, why she need to go to Indra and say, oh, please protect me? Right? If they are equal, everybody is equal. Now, Indra says, oh, I cannot also not solve this problem. Let's all go to Brahma. So why Indra and all these Devi Devatas, they all come together to Brahma if they are all equal? Now, Brahma says, so Brahma in one sense is superior to all them because he created all of them. Now, Brahma says, I cannot also not solve this problem. Let's go to Shiva. So it means Shiva has more power. He is at a higher level than that. And then Lord Shiva says, let's go to Kshir Sagar, to Vishnu. He can solve the problem. So if you logically see this point also, everybody is not at an equal level. So there is one supremacy. And the Guru can teach us, he can clear about all these misconceptions. That is the role of a Guru. So if somebody cannot give the conclusion as per the scriptures, he is not a real representative of the Lord. So Guru should come in a proper disciplic succession. So the third one was Rudra Sampradaya, and the Vice Chancellor was Vishnu Swami in the recent times. Now in that Sampradaya also, the knowledge, even that Sampradaya is active, very limited. We don't hear anybody belonging to Rudra Sampradaya or giving anything. They are maybe some portions in Rajasthan area or some part. Okay, they have like a, they worship Srinath ji. They have big temples as a Haveli. It's called Haveli. And they are not doing much of preaching activity. Their only activity is geared towards, centered about feeding prasadam. So they distribute prasadam. But there's not much of a teaching activity goes on. And then the fourth sampradaya is coming from four Kumaras. And in that sampradaya, in recent times, the main personality, representative in that sampradaya was Nimbarkacharya. So these are the four bona fide sampradaya. But among that, maybe the Shri Sampradaya and mainly the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, which is active now. And among all that, the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya is the most active, who is giving out the teachings as throughout the world. So one should come under this disciplic succession.
Shankaracharya in which
Shankaracharya was not in among all these sampradaya. His purpose was completely different.
They are not coming in any of
one. No. Shankaracharya's purpose of coming is again different. We will talk about that later.
Okay.
So even though whatever teaching he gave was Shanmuga is champion in that philosophy. He can talk on that. So we'll talk about that later. So these are the qualifications of a bona fide guru. It's not I should get up and say, oh, I claim to be a bona fide guru. I will give diksha and you can become my disciple like that. One, for example, you send your child to a school. So there is a teacher. Now that teacher had some teacher. She studied from somewhere. That teacher had some teacher, right? So I cannot get up and say, oh, I am qualified, I know everything, I can teach. So we have to be certified, linked with a certified source. So same way, the sampradaya means same thing. So one should have a bona fide guru. He should have a guru. He should have a guru. Ultimately, where they are connected?
Krishna.
To Krishna. So one should be connected with Krishna in a disciplic succession. So now, if we consider this point, lot of the gurus will be out from this equation. Because lot of people, this Bengali Baba, Nirmal Baba, this Baba, that Baba, they just get up and wear the saffron clothes. Punjab mein unka criminal record hoga, Bengal mein jaake Baba ban jate hain. So lot of are like that. This, Nityanand, the same story. Nirmal Baba, same story. Bengali Baba, same story. So, we should, after getting the human form of life, it's our responsibility to seek out a bona fide guru. Not accepting anybody as a guru. A lot of time this big preaching program happens, big pandal program. And at the end of the program they say, oh, today we will give diksha. Aaj initiation denge. Jaga jaga par mantra pillar pe upar chipke hue hain. Just take your mantra, whatever mantra you like, you take that mantra. By before leaving, give some donation. You are initiated. You have become a student now. You have accepted a guru. And guru is not cheap. They said guru means heavy. Who does not compromise while giving out the teaching. And guru has the right to call somebody as mudha. But you are fool number one. His job is not to give some pampering thing. Sweet pills. That's not the duty of a guru. He should give the right message, the genuine message, to cure the disease of avidya. Now understanding all that, it's not we should just keep checking, judging the guru. We should know what are the qualities of a disciple also. So what are the qualities of a disciple? Anybody? What should be the qualities of a disciple? Let's finish in another 10 minutes quickly. So Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna tells very clearly what are the qualities of a disciple. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya updikshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshina. This is chapter 4. So Krishna says, first of all, he says this knowledge came down in disciplic succession in the beginning of this chapter. Which is Krishna saying one should receive this knowledge in a disciplic succession. Not from anybody and everybody. So, and after that, what are the qualities of a disciple? First quality, tadvidhi pranipatena, pari prashnena. He should ask question. He should be inquisitive. To make progress in spiritual life, we have to ask questions. We have to open up our mind and heart. If we don't open up our mind and heart to the guru, he cannot help. If you go to the doctor, doctor ko jaake bolo, "Achha nahi lag raha aaj. Dawai de do." What will doctor say? Tell me what you are feeling. Give me some symptoms. Show me some symptoms. What are you feeling? Kahan par dard ho raha hai? Right? Where have you some pain? So we have to tell the symptoms, then he can give proper medicine. So same way, we have to ask questions. How to progress in spiritual life? That, oh, I have this weakness or those wrong tendencies. How can I cure those problems? How I have this wrong understanding or I have this understanding. Is this right understanding or wrong understanding? If we don't ask the questions, if we keep doubts to ourselves, those doubts grow up as demons. And that will destroy all the progress in spiritual life. So one should ask question, open up the heart and mind. The second quality is humility. So So what was the shloka? Tadvidhi pranipatena. So pranipatena, he should fall down at the feet of the Guru. He should pay obeisances to the Guru. Sit down at the feet of the Guru. Show humility. So second quality is, we need to be humble. If somebody has too much ego, right, too much proud, and he thinks, oh, I know everything. What can Guru teach me? I know everything. That person can never gain knowledge, never get knowledge. Anybody who considers himself to be fool number one in front of the Guru, that person can get knowledge. So if somebody goes and sit at the head of the Guru, will he be able to give you knowledge? Knowledge can only be received when we sit down at the feet of the Guru. The water, how does the water flows? Water goes from high to low, right? So same way mercy flows from high to lower side. If we are sitting at the feet of the Guru, that's when the mercy flows down to us. And Guru can impart the knowledge. When we humbly approach the Guru and ask him questions, submit to himself, he can give the knowledge. In Guru Puja, Guru Puja Ashtam, we sing this particular stanza. Sansara dava nalalidha loka. This material world is like a forest fire. So if there is a fire in the forest, how can you turn off that fire? Any number of fire brigades you bring, they cannot turn off the forest fire. Forest fire is turned off when there is a big rain pour from the cloud. Then the forest fire can be extinguished. So this material world is like a forest fire, and we are burning with all these material problems. This material existence itself. And the Guru acts like a rain cloud, who showers the mercy, who gives the knowledge, who bestows the mercy, and can deliver us from this ocean of sorrow. So the Guru can give knowledge. One should approach humbly. There are so many examples in the history. So many examples. Anybody who was proud can never get knowledge. But whenever somebody was submitted, somebody submitted with humility, he gained knowledge. The example coming from Ramayana. Yajnavalak and Bharadwaj. When Yajnavalak went to Bharadwaj, he did not say, oh, I know a lot of things, I am a big scholar. With humility, he submitted to Bharadwaj. Please tell me Ramayana. Please teach me Ramayana. When Uddhava asked Krishna, Uddhava said, I am fool number one. Please teach me. Please instruct me. Uddhava was a big scholar. And Krishna shook up all his scholar. He sent him to Vrindavan. Go to Vrindavan, meet the gopis. Earlier, Uddhava was known as a big scholar kind of thing. And then his ego was shaken. So Uddhava submitted him with humility. Arjuna, in the start of Bhagavad Gita, what we hear, Arjuna was giving all these questions. He was posing like a big scholar of all the scriptures. Now the scripture says we should not argue with our elders, what to speak of, kill them. We should not do this, that. So I don't want to fight with them. So he was telling all that to Krishna. And then Krishna was listening. Yeah. He was just pampering up. And later on when Arjuna said, Shishyasteham Karpanya Dosho Patasabhava. So I am a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. Shishyasteham Shadimam Tvamaham Prapannam. I am soul surrendered unto you. Please give me knowledge. I accept you as Guru. Then Krishna gave knowledge. So when we humbly approach a Guru, then they can impart knowledge. So Guru can give all the knowledge. When we humbly submit, actually, the knowledge can transfer in the heart without Guru speaking also. Verbally speaking all that knowledge. In another stanza of Guru Ashtakam, we are saying, Divya Gyan Hriday Prakashita. All this transcendental knowledge is coming up in the heart. And when Lord Shiva, Vishnu gave the knowledge to Brahmaji, so the first shloka of Bhagavatam, it says, Vishnu gave the knowledge, imparted the knowledge in Brahma's heart. So a guru can give the knowledge in the heart when the disciple submits with humility. Third quality, to approach the guru and serve the guru. Again coming from the same shloka, tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. And one should render service to the guru. Now service can be in two ways. Actually it's called two type of service. One is called Vapu Seva and Vani Seva. Okay, these are the two terminology. Vapu Seva and Vani Seva. Vapu Seva means physically serving the guru. Rendering service to him. Massaging his feet. Doing some actual physical service for him. Vani Seva is, that is more important actually than Vapu Seva. What is Vani Seva? Vani Seva is following the instructions of the guru. If I say, oh, you are my guru, I serve you very nicely, but whatever you say, I cannot follow that. That is not service to the guru. So Vani Seva is more important, sometimes considered more important than Vapu Seva. Serving the guru in terms of following his instructions, serving the words, and serving him physically. Like Srila Prabhupada, he met his guru first time. He was not his guru that time. He one of his friend, Srila Prabhupada's friend. That time he was Abhacharan, right? Abhacharan's friend. He said, oh, I know one very great sadhu. Please come with me. I want you to introduce to him. So he forcibly dragged him actually. Took him to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Now he heard the class. At the end, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati looked at Abhacharan. Sitting in the crowd. He said, you look like an intelligent person. Why don't you preach this Vedic philosophy to the Western countries? Srila Prabhupada, Abhacharan, he accepted Bhaktisiddhanta in his heart, Guru that time. And he took this as his mission of the whole life. That I want to fulfill this instruction. Why don't you preach this whole philosophy, our Vedic message to the Western English-speaking countries? So Guru's instruction become the heart and soul of the disciple. And Guru never gives the instruction which we cannot follow. With the instructions come the strength also to follow. So Guru never tells something whimsically. Oh, I tell you, go and do this thing. He knows what is our condition, what is our conditioning, and he instructs accordingly. So the third point is serving the Guru. So what are the three qualities of disciple? For us to progress in spiritual life, ask questions, right? Inquire. Second one is humility, not considering ourselves to be, oh, I know a lot of things. Bas itna sa aap bata do, baki to sab mujhe pata hai. I know everything else, just this one thing you tell me. And a lot of time people make guru just as a showcase sometimes, right? Oh, naam ke liye. Yeah, life mein guru banana chahiye, toh main bhi guru bana leta hun. Yes, I also accept a guru. And they will introduce their guru to other people as if he is a showcase. Like sometime you have some guest come to your house. You say, oh, this is my bedroom. This is my dining room. This is my trophy I won in this thing. And this is my guru, by the way. This is the... right? So, guru is not as a showcase. Guru is to be respected. Follow the instructions of the guru. So, these are the three qualities of a disciple to make progress in spiritual life. Inquiring, humility, serving the Guru. And the qualities of a Guru, he should not never consider himself to be God. He should follow the instructions of the scripture. He should know the scriptures inside, outside. He should know the conclusion of the scriptures. Third one, he should be Acharya, show by his own practical example. Next one, he should be a devotee, staunch devotee of Krishna. He should have control on all the urges. Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam. Most important, he should come in a disciplic succession. Should not somebody, nobody should start claiming, oh, I know a lot of things, I have a lot of knowledge, I did my own research. I wrote this couple of books on this philosophy, this spirituality, I am a guru, I can teach others. So it should not be like that. Now, who is a guru then? Like how, there are, scripture says there are mainly three type of guru. Actually the fourth one also, Krishna himself is a guru. Krishna, first of all, Krishna is the guru as a Chaitya guru. He is sitting in the heart as Paramatma. Right? Krishna says, I am seated in everybody's heart as Paramatma. So he is a Chaitya guru. Apart from, and so internally, he is acting as a Chaitya guru, and externally, he make arrangement for external guru. And there are three type of gurus, or three gurus in sequence actually. So first one is called Vartman Pradarshika Guru. What is that? Vartman Pradarshika Guru is one who maybe at some point of time acted as an instrument to connect us with somebody. For example, in case of Prabhupada, Prabhupada will say, oh, Niranjan, he was my Vartman Pradarshika Guru. His friend who first time forcibly took him to Bhakti Siddhanta. Right? Because he acted as a medium. He introduced him to him. Abhay Charan to Bhakti Siddhanta. So, he acted as, he is considered as a Vartman Pradarshika Guru. So, same way in our life, whoever as a first person, first devotee maybe we met, who connected us with a bona fide person to gain the knowledge, that may be our Vartman Pradarshika Guru. Then Siksha Guru. Siksha Guru is from where we receive knowledge, who gives us the teachings. Now, Siksha Guru is not as independently, he is not acting independently. He is repeating the instructions of the Guru and giving the same message. And for everybody who comes under the umbrella of ISKCON, first of all, Srila Prabhupada acts as a Siksha Guru because we are following his instructions, his teachings. He, even though he is not physically present, but he gave all his teachings through the medium of his books. He wrote so many books. Bhagavad Gita we read, his commentary. And Bhagavatam, all other small books, Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he wrote so many books and he gave so many talks, lectures. So we are actually in one sense receiving the knowledge from him. Through his books, his lectures, his instructions, through his disciples. So he himself acts as a Siksha Guru. And then other devotees, sometimes in the temple we go and somebody is giving class. So during that class, he is acting as our Siksha Guru. Right? Because he is giving the instruction. We are receiving knowledge from him. So, one can have many Siksha Gurus. There is no limitation to how many Siksha Gurus one can have. One may have one primary Siksha Guru who is acting as a mentor, who is guiding. But there can be many Siksha Gurus, whosoever class we often hear and something like that. Now, Diksha Guru, that is the most important link. So, Diksha Guru is who formally gives initiation, who initiates us and makes us a part of that sampradaya, of that disciplic succession. That is called initiation, diksha. So the person, the guru who is officially giving us diksha, that is called diksha guru. Now what is the need of diksha guru? One may say, okay, I can have only siksha guru, I need to gain systematic knowledge. In a proper sampradaya, I can have Siksha Guru, but what is the need of Diksha? What is the need of initiation, formal initiation? A lot of time people ask this question actually, once they are in the process for some time and they understand, yeah, everybody is telling, we should have Guru, we should have Guru in the life. Okay, I am going to the program, I am listening to the systematic knowledge. So, maybe I am receiving knowledge in a proper way, but what is the need of Diksha? What is the need of initiation? Because until you are connected, so Diksha Guru acts as a physical link with Krishna. Even though Siksha Guru is giving all the knowledge, instructions, so Diksha Guru also acts as a Siksha Guru also, because Diksha Guru also gives instructions, right? But apart from that, Diksha Guru is the physical link with Krishna, who is a transparent via media to connect us with Krishna. As a physical link. For example, if I say, okay, I will read all the books which are mentioned in the curriculum, but I don't want to enroll in the course. Right? I want to do Bhakti Shastri, So I will listen to all the lectures here, make notes, but I don't want to enroll for the course. What will happen? So even though you are receiving knowledge, you are not connected properly. There may be a slackening of our relationship. There may be a slackening in our attitude. If you don't have formally enrolled in a particular class, then there is no proper degree, no proper link. Right? But when one accepts Diksha, it becomes as a formal link in the parampara. Now maybe I will explain that later in some other examples also. So there is the importance of Siksha Guru and Diksha Guru. And Siksha Gurus can be many, but Diksha Guru can be only one in one's life. And the scripture says one should not accept anybody else as a initiating guru if one has already accepted one. So that is the instructions from the scripture. One can have many Siksha Gurus from where we receive knowledge. So we'll stop here. If anybody has any question on what is the need of a guru, who is considered as a bona fide guru, what are our own qualifications to accept into the process of spiritual life, accepting the knowledge and all. If anybody has any question or any comment also, if you have heard something else differently, if you want to mention anything. Yes. No, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never claimed himself to be God in public. His very close associates, they knew that he himself is God. But he never claimed openly in public that I am incarnation of God. His purpose of coming down that time was to give the Yuga Dharma. And the Yuga Dharma for Kali Yuga is chanting of the holy name. Right? So even though this message, this mantra is given in the scripture itself, in one of the Upanishads this mantra is mentioned, but it's hidden down. So he brought up that mantra up front and openly gave that chanting of the holy name, the Maha Mantra. And he showed by his own example how to become devotee. By becoming a devotee, he showed others how to become a devotee by his personal example. Like sometime, teacher comes down to the level of the student to teach the student how to do that. Right? Sometimes teacher is masters and all that qualification. But he will hold the hand of the child and say, okay, this is how you write A. Let's write A, B, C. So teacher comes down at the level of the student and does the same thing. Teaches the student by holding his hand. So same way, Lord himself comes sometime. And he shows how to become devotee of the Lord. That was the purpose of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's coming that time. To give the Yuga Dharma and show people by his own example. And he made others as an instrument. So he made others as an instrument to give the philosophy. Like he empowered the six Goswamis. Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami. They wrote volumes and volumes of books on this Krishna Tattva Sandarbha, on this whole philosophy. The relationship of Krishna and his devotee is very sweet. When a genuine bona fide person is trying to preach about Krishna, so Krishna makes all the arrangement. As a Prabhupada came with only $7, he did not have anything. And he created a big empire in terms of ISKCON, right? So many temples and all that. How did that happen? Because Prabhupada said, I am here to glorify Krishna. He was not here to claim his glory. A lot of time people come to get their own glory. A lot of Swamis have come. And before Prabhupada came, a lot of other Swamis came, right? But how many actual devotees came up? How many people became really devotee? They came, oh, we are going to other countries. We are going to America to give our Vedic philosophy. But how many people become devotee? And Prabhupada came in the whole world. Everywhere this Maha Mantra is chanted, sung, kirtans are going on, Krishna Katha is going on. What was the difference? Because he was a true representative of Krishna, giving the real message without his own personal comfort, without claiming his own glory. But Krishna, when somebody tries to glorify Krishna, Krishna also wants to glorify that person. Prabhupada wrote so many books, right? 18 books on Bhagavatam and all that, just glorifying Krishna. And Krishna also says, you are glorifying me, I will make sure you are glorified equally. So many people, so many Prabhupada's disciples have wrote books on Prabhupada. Prabhupada Leela Amrit. Like, so many books as a Prabhupada Leela Amrit, writing about Prabhupada stories and all that. My dear Prabhupada, I love you Prabhupada, Prabhupada coming back, this, that. So many books have been written. So Krishna making arrangement. Krishna glorify his devotee. Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj. So all the devotees who fully surrender to Krishna, they are glorified now. In the scriptures we write, they read their stories. So in that way they are eternal personalities, remembered eternally. So Krishna makes arrangement. So that's why we need to search out, seek out for not a cheap guru, a true representative of the Lord who can guide us, who can connect us back to Krishna. So scripture says, if we find a bona fide guru, we can get the ultimate goal of life. But if we find a bogus guru, he is also drowning himself and we also will drown with him. For example, a blind person cannot guide a blind person. If somebody blind man want to cross the road and he holds on the hand of another blind man, they both will get down a car. So a blind man cannot follow or lead a blind man. So same way, if we want to fulfill the ultimate goal of life, we have to find a true genuine guru. Otherwise, the scripture says we are progressing down the drain, not progressing upward, going down the drain. Sometimes it may seem like the so-called other guru, he is also telling on Bhagavad Gita, he is also speaking from Bhagavatam, doing Bhagavad Katha, but there is still a subtle difference. Slowly, slowly the difference grows so much, it becomes a wide gap, like a train, right? A train at the train station, it's the same one patri, one railway track. As it starts going, it can go on this side also, or sometimes they separate the railway track on the other side to send it to a different direction. In the beginning, it's only small gap. Slowly, slowly, gap becomes so huge, two trains are going in two different directions. So same way, in the beginning, it may seem like, oh, he is also teaching Bhagavad Gita, he is also quoting the shloka from Bhagavad Gita. But there is a difference. Their philosophy is a lot of garbage added into that, from their own concoctions and all that. But a true representative, he will abide by the knowledge given by God without any adulteration. Any other question, comments, Mataji's side? Was it too heavy? Too boring? Alright, so we'll stop here if nobody has any question. And we'll continue with the next part, Narasimha prayer, and we can call the kids too. Can you turn off the...
Today.
Okay, let's sing Narasimha prayer and Prasadam prayer. Maybe you all should try to teach the kids these two prayers, Narasimha prayer and Prasadam prayer, so they can sing here with other kids. And it's not difficult, kids catch up very quickly.